Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
It's a man's game now.
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Football Friday. A lot of basketball so far. Because the Portland Trail Blazers won their sixth of their last seven, they have shown all of us they are not tanking right now. It's clear.
Check back in a week.
They are playing hard. They are winning games, and decisively winning games. They're not tanking. They're playing good basketball right now. It's crazy.
It's not even just good basketball. Selfishly, it's fun to watch.
Mm.
Because they're playing for each other. I've seen people like, it's because they're not playing ISO. They're not getting in the DHOs. They're running. They're running the literal exact same offense.
Yeah.
It's just that you're seeing guys that are younger making decisions.
Playing hero ball.
And it's like, yeah, the whole like, dribbling. It's like, guys, the reason that happens is because the other guys haven't been capable of making decisions. Now you have like Scoot going from incapable of running an offense to controlling an offense in the span of 30 days is near miraculous.
Yeah.
And that's why things look better is you have guys being aggressive, even in their mistakes. They are understanding. Like, a big part of that, too, is DeAndre Ayton shooting the living crap out of the ball.
Like he's been playing really well.
He's been, like, he hasn't missed.
That is the hardest part about DA.
It's so frustrating.
Is when he is in, he is 10 toes in, and he is good.
He's 20-14 on, like, you know, 65% shooting.
But when he is bad, former Arizona Wildcats,
he gone.
Former Portland Trailblazers that live in Portland,
kill him,
are on Twitter saying they can't play this guy.
Yeah, get this guy off the floor.
Channing Frye.
Yeah.
But this is a weird spot, and a lot of Blazer fans are very confused and don't know how to feel because the fire Chauncey, he's a terrible coach crowd. They're in a tough spot because Chauncey is actually coaching pretty well right now.
Mm-hmm.
The tank lose all the games crowd, not good for you right now. And then you have the very small portion of Blazer fans who are like, I don't know what to feel. I don't know how to feel. I just don't think this organization is going to get it right. And they're probably going, I knew this. Mm. I knew this was going to happen. We can't have nice things. Well, it's an okay thing right now, and they're playing okay. Your text on the Vancouver Ford text line. Don't we think that the teams in contention are going to turn it up after the All-Star break and Portland won't keep winning these games because of it?
There's an element of that. Like that's the thing. There's one stretch of games where I want to say it's in March where it's going to decide this. They play – God, where is it at? They play – yeah, there. Here it is. So it is end of February, into March, you have the Hornets, Jazz, Wizards, Nets, all on the road.
Yeah, but Hornets at home. Hornets at home.
Oh, I'm sorry, Hornets before you go on the road.
Yeah.
So
this is
coming out of the All-Star break.
Yeah,
and you are going to have the great suck off version 2, 2025.
Yeah.
And now, here's the thing. Can they get to the bottom three? No. No, they can't. You start losing those games, the ones that matter.
Yeah.
And you bump, because it's a double whammy, right?
Whammy.
You lose and they win.
Yeah.
Now, you're not really worried about the Wizards or the Jazz, so to speak, but the Hornets and the Nets? Oh, yeah, you're looking at that. And then you've got another stretch.
I've got a stretch in mind here that I think could be very decisive for Portland.
Is it the Raptors, Wizards, Grizzlies?
No, it's mine starts earlier.
Okay.
It starts earlier, but it is in this stretch where it's Detroit, Golden State, New York,
yep.
Toronto, Washington, Memphis, right? Now, I want to pull Memphis out of that because they're playing so damn well right now.
Yes.
You're not going to win that. But just think of that stretch right there. Detroit currently is sitting at 23-24. But that's a game that can be won. They're kind of hitting a weird skid right now, too.
Not only that.
Isaiah Stewart suspended on his own bobblehead night.
Yeah. Well, he got a sixth flagrant foul.
Good Lord.
My man's very physical.
But if you go down this, what are a lot of these teams going to be playing for, including Golden State? Because this stretch starts in March, okay? And right now, Golden State is on the outside looking in, and they know that what may be in their best interest is not to win games they can't get into that play-in, right? If there is that separation that comes prior to this All-Star break and then coming out of it, like what do they look like? Because they know they've only got limited time with Steph Curry, right?
Yes.
Do they say, maybe winning isn't what we want to do right now? Do they pull a ripcord on that thing? Then you have, after you play New York, who has a lot to play for, Toronto, Washington, right there. And you're in March, and you have games, as you mentioned earlier, you will play a lot of these same teams as well. And you're not going to want to have those head-to-heads with each other.
And it's one of those things where, again, it's that double whammy. Yeah, you get a loss, they get a win. It just bumps you up. It forces, like, if you're Portland there and you're the Nets and you find a way to drop both those games, then it's one of those bloop bloop. You know, you start looking at a situation where they go up two, you go down two.
And the end of the season could get even worse.
Oh yeah, no. With the way it ends, this is
starting
the one
with Sacramento.
About. Yep, because you've got the Kings, Knicks, and then the Hawks. Who with Jalen Johnson's injury, it sounds like they might be sellers here at the deadline, so that might be a little bit tougher. But Raptors, Bulls, Spurs might be chasing a play-in.
Yeah,
at that point. But then the Jazz, and then the Warriors, Lakers. Like that last road, you have that 5-game road trip home for one against the Spurs, and then the Jazz, who they are going to be so far in the tank at that point in time. Will Hardy is going to need to be in an insane asylum.
Poor guy.
That man hates losing so badly.
Yeah,
so badly. Like you can see it on his face. He is a sad digger.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's rough.
Here we go with another text of, do you guys see a scenario where Chauncey's back next year based on the growth that we are seeing?
I don't. I think that playing has taken off. And Chauncey knows that. Everybody knows the deal. And this is, like, again, I am not saying Chauncey is the best coach in the face of the planet. He's not dumb. He knows the situation. It was like, well, what's the money for? It's like, all right, bro, if you know your job's ending, how many of you are mailing in? Like, if you're giving your 2 weeks, are you giving your best work? No, most people aren't. To Chauncey's credit, even knowing he's a lame duck, you know what he's done? He's gotten Scoot and Shaden to buy in. Remember Tumani last year got benched and everybody lost their mind? Two flat out told me I got too big for my britches. I started going a little too far outside the scope of what I need to do.
Yeah.
And it was Josh Hart had a clip. I wish I would have grabbed it. It was from a podcast either yesterday or last night where he said, I'm having my best year in my career because I stopped trying to be something I'm not. I accepted that I'm the role player. And I think it was his podcast. Jalen was on there too. And it was a really poignant line because he goes, I'm a servant to these guys. And Jalen Brunson said, you know, can you say that again? He goes, it is my job to make these guys' jobs easier.
Yeah.
And this is the first year in my life that I have accepted, truly accepted that role. and I'm having the best year of my career.
Yeah.
And it's like, Chauncey has gotten guys to buy into the role. Like,
yes.
Two, you can be a 3-and-D demon. Lock that in, and we can start experimenting with you. Like, we can put you in pick and rolls. We can use you in post-ups. Shaden, play with aggression and stop settling for dumb shots.
Yeah.
Get downhill and be a physical freak. It's like, has Chauncey or has Shaden had a game where he's been cooking and aggressive and Chauncey sat him down?
No.
Not once.
Mm-mm.
DA, go out there and rehab who you are. The second DA F's around, yoink. There is accountability for this stuff. And I think that's a huge, huge deal for like what you're talking about with like the development of these guys.
Another text here, and I think this will be a good jumping off point, and we'll answer this on the other side. What changed over the last 30 days that have been able to make these small strides? Anything specific? There has been. Danny Dusty on The Fan.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
On the Vancouver 4 text line, we got this question. What has changed over the last 30 days that the Blazers have been able to make these small strides? Anything specific to the growth that we've seen in Scoot Henderson? Specifically, I think that's the guy that we've seen the largest strides from. But if you want to go on the granular, over the last 30 days, you've seen a switch flipped in DeAndre Ayton from guy who cannot be playable to last handful of games, been damn right dominant.
I think that might end up being the biggest one.
Tumani Kamara on the defensive end has continued to ratchet things up. And he'll give you the nights where he's popping in the scorebook. Shaedon Sharpe gets moved to the bench, and he has started to grow. But even guys like Chris Murray, man. Chris Murray, over the last 30 days, mm-hmm. has been playing so much better basketball. So what is it that you look for as the things that have changed the most to these small strides moving forward? Because I think there's a lot of different ways to go about it because of so many guys who have upped their game.
There's this... You can point to a million things. I'm going to point to DeAndre Ayton because I think that's where everything kind of flows out of. Because if he's cheeks, none of it matters. If you don't have somebody anchoring a defense, it's gone. And really, for the last five games that he's played, it's been his best games as a Blazer. I don't think it's particularly close. It's not even just like, I mean, his scoring has been otherworldly efficient. Like, he was 10 of 12 last night.
It's infuriating. It's infuriating that he can be this dominant, though, and then have stretches of a guy that does not look playable in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, he just, the give a damn completely disappears. Like, I've said this, and I will maintain this. I think he has the best touch in the NBA for a big not named Nikola Jokic. Like, it's not Daniel Gafford dunking the ball 18 straight times. He's hitting 14-foot middies with dudes in his face, just straight cash over and over and over again. And you're just like, oh my. He's shooting 50% on mid-range shots this year. He's one of the best, not even just for bigs, he's one of the best mid-range shooters ever. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. But defensively, if he's locked in, and not even as a rim protector, but like able to rotate out, able to cut off driving lanes, able to you know, quote unquote, turn off the water, like take away a team's number one option of getting to the rim and being a deterrent. Well, now two can be aggressive. Now Denny can be aggressive. Now Rob Williams can be aggressive. Now Jeremy, but before Jeremy rolled his ankle, Jeremy was playing like a demon on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, oh, Shaden has started, even if he's making mistakes, he's making hustle plays and being disruptive. Scoot is being disruptive in passing. Like, Scoot's getting, like, I want to say he's getting two steals a game right now. He's been incredibly active in the passing lanes and being disruptive. You can do those things when you've got a team that has a bit of an anchor. And I think everything kind of flows from that. Now, what makes it better is Tumani Kamara leveling up into the disruptive force of nature. Defensively, because if you look at their offensive stuff, the Blazers' offense hasn't been great. It's nothing spectacular. It's fine, but like if you look at where they have been defensively, I think coming out of last night, I think they're fifth in the last 2 weeks. Oh my bad, they improved to fourth.
Oh,
they in the last 2 weeks they have the fourth best defense in the entire NBA. Here's a weird group for you. Another team that has won some games. Number one in the last 2 weeks defensively. Toronto Raptors. Number two, the Lakers. Number three, Boston. Number four, Portland. Now, part of that is the offenses that Portland has played. Orlando twice. Charlotte. Miami in a funk.
Mm-hmm.
But they won those games. If you played those games in November, December, they probably lose those games. Like, that's the way they were playing. They weren't on the same page. But you've got Denny in a role that makes sense. You've got two in a role that makes sense. Yeah. You've got DeAndre in a role that makes sense. Like when this, and more than the role stuff, it's these guys being on the same page and understanding each other.
Yeah.
I think that might end up being the biggest part of it.
When you mentioned Jeremy Grant, something kind of just stuck out to me is that, like, we're talking about this run over the last 30 days, and over the last 30 days, the Blazers have played 16 games.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy Grant has played in seven of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the seven that he has played in have been five of the six wins in this stretch. But I believe that the ones that he missed mm-hmm. from December 30th to January 16th, I think that is where we started to see everybody else kind of grow and fall in line with their roles. This isn't to say that it was addition by subtraction, but it allowed the Blazers to take a look around, because a lot of times you were looking at the Blazers go, all right, JG, we don't know what to do really. Mm-hmm. And they had to find new guys, had to identify their roles and kind of find that structure without him on the floor. I think that helped everybody else kind of fall in line, especially a guy like Scoot Henderson. But you saw him come back, and when everybody else is more comfortable, they've been playing really well.
Yeah, no,
he didn't play last night, but I don't think it mattered.
No,
because the Magic were atrocious.
They were awful. I think the biggest part of that, from the wing standpoint, has been Denny's emergence. Because Denny's emergence as a natural playmaker, facilitator, downhill force is the thing that they needed, and Jeremy's just been awful from two this year. Awful. Like, he's still shooting the crap out of the ball from three, but
Denny and two. Yeah. I think two is finding his role.
Mm-hmm. There's a little more space. He's not going to have a ton of offensive workload, but it is a couple more possessions. And like, you can do experimental stuff. And again, I love JG, and I think that, that them having him has been worth it because it gave structure and framework to what they're trying to do. But now it's like it's this like mama bird pushing the birds out of the nest. Like, you got to figure it out now. But the thing is, in that same period, you saw guys actually start to show growth. So it became, okay, I don't have to throw you out there and go, oh, God, here we go again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's been the difference this time around because we've seen this happen before. We saw it all last year when, you know, the vets got shut down.
Yeah.
And it didn't – when they had all that opportunity and all that leash, didn't just materialize into production. They've something has clicked. Something has come together.
Well, do you think there's anything to the – and we're getting several texts on this right now, and it's pretty obvious. It was on social media last night too. DeAndre Ayton is playing like a guy who may want to be traded.
Look, he may want to be. He makes $35 million, and everybody knows what the freight of DeAndre Ayton. Isn't a person in the league who works in the league who doesn't know how talented he is. That's what pisses everyone off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's frustrating to watch.
Look, he wasn't an number one overall pick like, where people were like, well, it's Anthony Bennett. Like, no, he was new age David Robinson, guys. Like, there was no doubt about the talent.
But the skids are there. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's...
This is a guy who anchored a team to an NBA Finals defensively.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no qualms about the talent.
Damn, he kind of reminds me of, like, there's going to be a team that's going to be like the girl who dates the hot dude mm-hmm. who's just flawed to the nth degree. She's like, I can fix him. There's going to be a team that goes that route. And it's like, no, you're not. Mm. Because I think that this isn't more of like DA motivated to be traded. This is more of like DA
I think he's just
being
happy.
Who he is.
I think he's just happy.
And there's peaks and valleys mm-hmm. with his happiness.
Yeah.
And it goes with his production on the floor.
I think that I think the realization with him was, you know what we need to do, regardless of what I want to do with anything else, I need to give him the LaMarcus Aldridge treatment. I need to just Pac-Man him for the first 5 minutes of the game. Nom, 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 nom.
Let him eat.
Let him eat for 5 minutes, and then if he's got it, we keep it going.
Yeah.
If not, hey, D.A., look, we try to get you going, big dog. Wasn't there.
Not the night.
Go look at his scoring by quarter. See if anything pops up. Because I almost guarantee his first and second quarter scoring is going to be significantly higher than his third and fourth.
Interesting.
Because it's you get him involved and you get him to care, and you go, huh, interesting. What does that look like?
LaMarcus Aldridge is exactly what it looks like, and that's the guy that you brought up.
And the only time you saw LaMarcus in the fourth quarter was in the half court in the final 2 minutes when it was go time.
Yep.
And the Blazers, when they need a bucket, what are they rolling?
They run DA.
They run a pick and roll.
Yep.
Because like if you've got him going, he's got 18 points and he's, you know, 9 of 10 from the field, you know what a defense is gonna do? They're gonna go with him. And then all of a sudden you have opportunities.
No doubt about it.
It's such a weird, and I'm not saying this to take away from Scoot or Shaden or Tumani or Denny. I just think that DA, because the variance is so wide.
Yeah.
Him tightening that and also being super productive and super efficient and being good on defense has been the thing that they can build out on. Don't get me wrong. That's a foundation that can be made of sand.
Yeah.
The water can wash that away real quick.
Yeah.
It's not a good idea to build that and go, we're good here. This ain't bedrock. You know? But when it's good, it's good.
Okay.
So right. We'll see where it goes. All right, coming up next, it's time for our worst day on the web. This is, I've actually heard of this before as a joke, but boy, I don't know how far this can go. A villain for hire service where a weak boyfriend can look tough for beating him up in front of their girlfriends.
Oh.
Where are we falling on this? That's our worst day on the web. Coming up next, but first is Will Horton with the Sports Center update.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
Who needs Uber when you can take a dive for a few bucks and make somebody else look good.
Will Ortner, take a listen, bud. This is I think you may have a new career, buddy. You may have a new career.
Me and Gosling, Fall Guys.
Yes, you could. Tell me more about this.
It's a wonderful, wonderful situation.
Okay.
A Malaysian man has begun offering his services as a villain for hire, allowing clients to act like heroes by fighting him off or taking him down in front of others, specifically their partners. Shazali Suleiman decided to capitalize on his intimidating physical appearance by becoming a villain for hire.
Okay.
This is his pitch, which on the Facebook Marketplace is there. Are you tired of your partner thinking you're weak? For a reasonable fee, I can help you prove them wrong. Will, are you listening? Are you listening, Will?
Okay. What?
A very large man with a little dart in his lip and his hair down low. Looks like a Malaysian metal roadie.
Okay.
It's kind of what we're working with here.
Yeah.
You might need to grow the hair back out, Will.
No, I think he's fine. I think he's fine to do this because he just looks like a big, mean dude. And if he just goes out there and, I don't know, maybe you should get one of those Ed Hardy shirts that gives you arm sleeve tattoos.
Oh, there you go.
You know? In that way, it'd be like...
What about an eye patch?
I've always
wanted to have an eye patch. Maybe a weird pet of some sort, like a parrot or a ferret?
Sure. Maybe like a fancy lad hat of some sort, like a leather cowboy hat, something that makes you look...
Ooh, I'd wear a cowboy hat.
Yeah. Get a nice Stetson.
Yes. No. I don't want him looking like an actual cowboy.
Oh.
Like he is fake-ass cowboy.
You want the truck stop leather.
No, I should look like a cowboy.
Yeah, well, maybe that does work.
I should embrace my roots.
Maybe that does work. If you just go, you could go straight up cowboy.
Belt buckle.
And you could be the drunk idiot who walks up, says something offensive to a guy's girlfriend.
Mm.
He decks you once, you take a dive, and he looks like a hero.
I'll do it. I mean, my price might not be
affordable. I guess I'll be your villain for hire pimp. Like, I'll take a cut, and I'll book it for you. I can do that for you.
What percentage?
I don't know. Well, we can discuss
that. We're going to negotiate.
We don't have any pricing here, but this says, the way he set this up is when a boyfriend went to the bathroom, I pretended to harass his girlfriend. When he returned, he confronted me like a hero. He said it provided an example of a service he provided for a client. His service is available to both men and women, and he's been hired a number of times by friends and family already.
Wait, he's been hired by men and women? So, like, the woman's like, go up, harass my boyfriend. I'm going to kick your ass.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Or girlfriend.
Okay.
We're
accepting
of all lifestyles
partner,
here.
Yeah, partner.
Partner, your
general.
Partner. And I'm going to kick.
There might be a more macho member of the relationship.
Sure, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, but either way, like, that's, like, you're going to go and pick a fight with a woman? And like, I don't know. Will has, if the money's there, Will will do it.
That's me getting my butt kicked by a woman, the price is up.
Yeah. Will,
it's raised.
I thought maybe you'd take a discount there just because, you know, physical touch from a woman.
Nah, I get plenty of that.
Dang.
We're fine. We're doing okay over here.
Good for you, Will. Good for you. His Bumble account's been buzzing over there.
Don't have Bumble.
What is it, Hinge? Plenty of fish?
No comment.
What are we working with here?
I don't know what you're working with.
No comment. You don't need to know about my relationship status.
This is exactly the position for it. Go on.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Okay, so I feel like
these are
for doomed relationships regardless.
Oh, for sure. But
so I don't think there's anything here that really needs...
Why are they doomed?
Because if you're having to prove to your significant other that you can beat somebody up... And in order to do that, you're going to have to hire a person to take a dive. Don't think that relationship is built on honesty and trust.
It's only a lie if you don't believe it. So just remember, go Seinfeld.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
I know. I knew I messed it up halfway through. And so I just like kind of steered into it.
What are we charging
you? You fixed it.
Made sense, though.
What do you think that, because you're probably taking a real punch, right?
Well, he says it's all just an act. Like WWE, no one actually gets hurt. I am the only one who is a quote-unquote loser.
Okay, but...
I mean, does he just cower in fear after like a two-hand shove? Or like what's...
It's more expensive each body part you get hit, too. Like, face is more expensive than a stomach punch.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. And so, wait, is this guy meeting with the... With
the buyer beforehand, like they're doing like a little rehearsal.
And you guys
in the backyard.
Are doing, yeah, you guys are doing like
throw him off the ropes.
Like, hey, when the punch comes, you can't land this. I'm gonna give with it, But we got to make this seem like it's real. Yeah. Like you have to have an element of WWE into it.
What you do is you make sure that the goon has got his back to the girlfriend. That way you can really sell it.
Yeah, I feel like this is...
Angles matter.
I think it's 250 for a body shot. And like two-hand shove body shot, we're going 250 because it's time here, right? It's
okay.
Time. If you want to go with a face shot...
Double it. 500?
No, because it's a WWE shot to the face, right? But I would say around 400 for the face.
400, but if you land, it's five. There's a maintenance fee.
Yeah,
as it were.
As Will's fight pimp, I am not the one taking the shot, so I'm okay with that.
But hey, no, look, as his pimp, you have to make sure that if the moneymaker's damaged, you get your cut.
That also might make it more believable for the next person. Like if I have a little bit of a scar, and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, he must really be a bad dude. Here's the other thing about it. I think the size of the person hitting me would depend on the price range as well. Because if it's a little guy that's punching me, the price goes up. I can't have it out on the streets that like 5-6 people are able to beat me up.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
No, it does to my ego. It does. It raises the price. If you're bigger, you don't
do this in the hometown.
Yeah, this is ego-less for you.
No, I have a gigantic ego. In this game, few have an ego as big as mine.
I want the addition for $1,000, you can get it on video and post it to your social media.
Yeah.
No, that's got to be like...
But I feel like Will may be in a tough spot too, though, because you're good-looking enough to where like...
Oh, thanks.
Boyfriend may punch you, and she's like, no, I want to go with that guy anyway, you know? Like,
we're building him up a little too much here.
It wouldn't be the first time.
I'm saying, though, if you're the type of guy who's having to make this higher,
you're probably not the cream of the crop.
Yeah, you got some things going against you. So she may have been like, whoa, I'm going to lose the zero, get with the hero.
She might like some wildlife.
I might be too tall for some, though. It's an issue. I'm big.
Oh, there's a problem with being too tall?
Yeah, no, I think that's an actual thing. You hit a certain point and that's too tall. 6 foot to like 6'2". That's perfect, dude.
That's weird because I've heard 6'4".
Yeah.
I feel like you should be
6'5", unfortunately. That's too big.
No.
I don't fit in airplanes.
No one has ever told Will he's too big.
Yeah. You know what, Will? I've often heard.
I had a football coach tell me that once.
When.
Gave me a salad plate.
When I was on the dating scene, I often heard, Will, how well do you fit onto an airplane? Mm. That comes up often. She's like,
no.
Yeah, I'd love to get a drink with you, Will, but I don't think you'd fit on an airplane.
No. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is like when you have to crane your neck to look all the way up to see someone, sometimes that gets a little too big and scary.
Well, don't tell that to Hayden Panettiere. Didn't she marry a Klitschko?
She is the outlier.
She's like,
she also divorced him.
She's like 5'1" and he's
6'5"?
Nah,
6'6"?
I think they're bigger.
Oh, you're right. I think they're taller than that.
I thought they were like 6'7", 6'8".
Yeah, I think you're right.
They're like the first like super boxer or whatever they called him.
Let's see here. Brothers? Oh, 6'6".
6'6"? Okay.
6'6".
I think one of them is taller though.
Vladimir is 6'6".
Mm-hmm.
The other one, which Vitaly, isn't Vitaly. He? He's the mayor of Kyiv.
Yeah.
In Ukraine, he is 6'7".
Yeah, I'd say one was a little bit bigger. God, those are massive kids. That poor mom.
Yeah.
Not if they got her genes.
Maybe.
What was the other one married the midget hockey player?
Excuse me?
Don't think we can say that.
That's right. We can't use that anymore. It's small hockey player. It's like 5'2". Sorry.
Still not a little person either.
No, he's very short.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Oh God, it was another one of the blonde child actors that grew up with everybody.
Dude, there's
I can't remember his name.
No idea.
It's a complete opposite.
There is another Klitschko brother, Maxim Klitschko.
Oh wow,
I haven't heard about him. Manning.
He's a basketball player. No, professional basketball player. 7'1".
Yeah, that he's not
what?
A champion.
Mm. I guess he is Maximum.
Oh wait, no, that's Vitaly's son. Vitaly's son is 7'1".
God, that's genetics are out of control.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll let you beat them up for hire?
No, I don't think a Klitschko brother's doing that. I don't think that's happening at all.
I don't know, man. They might need money right now.
I think that this is a great business enterprise by this man. Where is this at again? You said Singapore? Is that where this was?
Malaysia.
I feel like this is a good...
You could be an early angel investor here.
Yeah. There is a market for this.
Get your pimp game strong, Dusty.
Yeah. Call me Gator. Mm. That movie is hilarious. The Other Guys.
Oh, God, yes.
Sold.
I love that movie.
Aim for the bushes.
Gator.
Aim for the bushes.
Will shot A-Rod.
Yankee Clipper.
No, Jeter. It was Jeter.
I know. You should have shot A-Rod is what they said.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's what he mutters under his breath. You should have shot A-Rod.
Yeah, the Yankee Clipper.
Nerds.
The Yankee Clipper is such a great name. And again, Wahlberg being a Red Sox fan makes it even better. Like, in his dreams, he probably shot Derek Jeter.
Probably.
He definitely shot A-Rod.
Oh, man. I like this plan. Will is for hire. If you need to show to your
Vancouver
significant
Vortex
other.
Line? You going to run it through here?
Dude, I've done, we'll definitely do that. Go ahead, shoot us a text. Or, maybe safer if you just, tweet at me, Instagram. Like, if you want to lay out Will Ortner to impress your significant other, dial me up. Let's do this.
I'll tweet it out. I got you.
We got the, you're going to do it from the fan account?
I was going to do it from mine, but now I might.
Bigger reach.
Tag at Dusty Hera. Oh. If you would like to beat Will up, Will is for hire. Please contact Dusty Hera.
For your significant other. This is a very specific business we have here. There's just people that'll probably just pay to beat you up regardless, you know?
Yeah, because that's the only way they could.
Hey-o.
Got him. Coming up next, a little bit more NBA news as we have some mild breaking news and all-star selections. Did they get it right? Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Some breaking news as the Portland Trail Blazers starting forward, who was originally left off the all-star roster for the Rising Stars sophomore team, Tumani Kamara, has been named as an injury replacement. Yay! The NBA got it right.
So Rising Stars Challenge will have... Scoot Henderson, Tumani Kamara, and Bryce McGowan's of the remix.
There you go. They're sending three.
All right.
The replacements that were named were from the Orlando Magic last night, Anthony Black, Tumani Kamara, from the Detroit Pistons, Asar Thompson, and rookie Ryan Dunn of the Phoenix Suns. So they added three sophomores, one rookie due to injuries. Now, Tumani should have made that list, and he should have made it over Jaime Jaquez Jr. It's not particularly close.
Yeah.
It's not particularly close.
Yeah.
He's outperforming Hawkeyes, I believe, in every single metric right now, while also being 10 times the defender.
Okay.
So, shouts to Tumani. These guys will tell you that they don't care. They care.
Favorite Blazer right now.
They care.
Does he get a bump for that?
There will be a little contractual, little ding-ding.
Good.
So
I think he deserves all the money.
Oh, absolutely. I'm really interested to see what his next contract looks like. It's going to be one of those ones where it's like, how does this go? Besides that, though, the All-Star reserves were announced.
Okay.
Did you see them?
Yeah, I did.
What was your thought?
My thought on the All-Star reserves?
Yes. Do you think they get it? They got it right? Are you mad that Domantas Sabonis got left off?
No. What I am glad about is that Darius Garland and Evan Mobley both
three Cavs.
Like that, those guys. You want to talk about people that are deserving of it? Those two, absolutely, because of how good that team has been played. And look, All-Star starters, we know this. This is nothing but a...
It's fan service.
With the exception of LaMelo Ball. Fan voting, and those guys get in there, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But as far as, like, the snubs go, that's players and coaches, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's players and coaches who they feel are some of the best players. That's why I was always like, Damian Lillard was the first damn reserve every single year, because it's like... Come on, people. How do you leave him off?
Yeah, right? And the guys he was going up against are like Steph and Russ.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, we get it.
The reserves for, I mean, I don't know. People are all hot and bothered that Trae Young didn't get in.
Which makes, he leads the league in assists. He's shooting 40-30.
Yeah.
He's wildly inefficient. Look, all the back and forth crap with the Heat that I had last year, I never said Tyler Hero was a bad player.
Yeah.
You won't find me saying he's a bad player.
Dude, he is.
He's 25-5-5 on 47-40, 88 splits. He's balling out.
I mean,
he has been phenomenal for them. He absolutely deserved to make it over Trae Young. It's not particularly close.
Look,
and the LaMelo Ball stuff, it's like He's a wildly inefficient chucker on a horrid team. Like, at least when Bradley Beal was, like, snubbed, there was some efficiency to his game when he was playing for those crappy Wizards teams.
Yeah.
He's that for all of the LaMelo Ball's great. Surely the Hornets have been good with him then, right?
Surely. No?
No, they haven't.
What I find just wild is that even but on the West side, I was like, you know what? Norman Powell has been playing good enough to be an all-star this year.
Yes, you know, but accepting him over James Harden, I think, is fine, but Harden's been good.
Harden has been, he's been, when they started clicking and humming, it was James Harden. So I don't know who else you would take off of the West outside of Harden.
You're flipping those two. You're deciding which one of those gets it.
But if you want to say Domantas Sabonis deserves in, who are you going to take?
It's Şengün.
Şengün.
Who is outperforming, but Houston is the second best team in the West, and they have no other representation.
That's the thing, is that who do you take off of this list of the reserves? Anthony Davis, Jaren Jackson Jr., Şengün, Jalen Williams, or Victor Wembanyama?
You could take Jalen off there, but now you're taking an all-star, the second all-star, off the team with the best record in the NBA. That seems a little wild.
And he's playing very damn good.
Sabonis leads the league in rebounding. He's, I believe, the second best three-point shooter on volume in the entire NBA this year, which is insane.
If I was a fan of the Sacramento Kings, I'd be livid.
Yeah. Look, you have a legit beef. There you go.
You have big beef.
Big beef. But more than that, I don't like doing this because it's like, well, everybody gets a trophy. If NBA rosters are 15, all-star rosters should be 15. If nothing else, bump it to 13. Give me the active roster.
New format.
And especially if you're talking about NBA, you're adding all these additional guys into it. It's like, and especially if you add two new.
Run down this new format for me, because I thought it was 3-on-3.
No, it's 5-on-5. It's 5-on-5. But it's 8 of each. So you, yeah. So 8-8-8. Of the All-Stars, that's 24. So 12-12. But you get the rookie sophomores are going to play each other, and whoever wins that game will be the fourth team in there. And that fourth team will play one of the other teams.
Because that'll go well.
Yeah. They figure they're kids. They're fine. They can play a few more minutes. But they're also, I think the real reason is you throw that group in there, and whoever they play, they're going to go hard.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to get embarrassed by the kids. And if you think Tumani Kamara is going to go out there and not play hard,
got nothing coming?
Yeah.
He going to play.
He going to play. So that's the part of this. But I, all in all, I thought they did really well with the reserves this year.
Sure.
Like, I think you can quibble over Sabonis. To me, that is the one you can quibble over. And if you want to swap Norm for James, fine.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. My whole thing is, if you're saying, this person got snubbed, give me who you're taking off.
Yeah.
You don't get to complain about it and say,
I don't know who you take. And that's my thing. Give me who he's replacing, and that's always
the question. If you want to say Şengün, fine, because he has been better. But they have the second-best record in the West, and one of the things we've always valued with the All-Star game is, if you have one of the top two teams in the conference, you get an All-Star.
Yeah, the NBA needs to find the sweet spot somewhere in the middle of where the NBA and Major League Baseball are, where Major League Baseball has every team represented. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't think
the Washington Wizards should not get that this year.
The 100 Los Astros did not deserve to have anybody on there.
No.
You know, the A's didn't deserve to have anybody on there. The NBA, there should be a little bit of a sweet spot. At least have, maybe for this, we go have as many spots as teams in the NBA. And then you can go from there, because that would get you to 30.
30, go 15 and 15. Which
15 and 15.
Yeah.
And then you expand out to 32 teams. It goes to 16 and 16.
Yeah,
and
but then you're then when teams have multiple all-stars, you can't.
Yeah, I don't really care. Just give me something that makes a little bit more sense, because so many guys are left off. If you were at 15 and 15,
somebody would complain about the 16th,
but
the
I don't
argument
care.
Goes away at it that goes point away. In time. Yeah.
Yeah. It goes away, because now will there be some guys coming down the back and we're like, fringe, don't care.
That's the whatever. Mike Conley, Jeff Teague all-star selection. It's like
folks,
your quarterback this year, Drake May, becoming a Pro Bowler.
Yeah,
no
I was
cares.
Just going to say, look at the Pro Bowl this week. No.
Who was
it
that called it the Participation Bowl?
I don't know, but
J.J. Watt.
It's perfect.
God, it was a great name.
But I watched the skills stuff last night.
You're disgusting.
You have nothing going on.
I have an 8-year-old.
You didn't watch the basketball game?
I haven't.
You played a really good basketball game.
It's, no. The skills thing started at 4.
Oh, that's right. It's in... Oh, no, it's in Orlando. Wow, that's right.
That thing was... It was a disaster. Mm. But, you know, it was definitely tailored to my 8-year-old son. Mm. He was on point. They had Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson with, you know, the Hulk hands, like the big, huge mitten things. Yeah. They look like Mickey Mouse hands. They had them catching footballs in those.
Oh, I thought you were going to say punching each other.
No. And then they'd have to catch a ball with those on, shed the gloves, and then go do a diving catch shot out of a jugs machine. And I will tell you, Brock Bowers came the closest to making the diving catch in this relay race. He didn't catch the ball. Nobody caught the football. It would just launch. It was like, there's no way any of these. I think Derek Stingley Jr. got hurt trying to lay out on a high jump pad for a ball that was shot like 20 yards beyond where he could jump to. It was a train wreck. An absolute train wreck.
Gross.
So, All-Star Games, let's not complain about any of it. It's all shenanigans.
I don't like it. All right, there you go. NBA got it mostly right for once.
Yeah.
Adam Silver, you get nothing right. All right, coming up next. What? The 10-minute thing's still irking
me. You got that hate. Got that hate in your heart.
I do. The New Orleans Saints getting a little bit clearer on what direction they're going to go. As much as you can thin the mud, at least. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.